20 minutes ago about just being...
Yeah, speaking of racehorses, this is so random, but you know what those, like, derby thingies? Mm-hmm. There was one, I think, in, like, Australia or something, and this horse, like, they were in the stalls, right? All the racers were lined up. He put his head over, and he knocked out this guy that was on a horse about to race. So they opened the chutes anyways. The horse goes out without a rider and wins the whole thing.
Really?
I don't know if he qualified as the winner, but that right. horse knew the mission. And he was like, oh, wow. Rider or not, I know where to go.
Oh, that is good.
And he was, you know, he pulled out in front of the pack. And then he was like, he was way ahead of the rest of them. He was like, I don't need my rider on my back. I'm going.
Yeah. He That's knows the mission.
Yeah. You know what? It was so cool.
That's exactly what I want to talk about. Disciplined. That horse was disciplined.
Do you think he was disciplined, or do you think he just wanted to run?
No, that's
what some of those have the spirit to run,
right? But he was, you know, he's been trained to do a certain job, and that was to run that race.
Yep,
to run with or without a rider. My goal is to run this race.
Yeah,
I think, and this is. And I was going to talk about it. I was with a bunch of people on Tuesday, older guys, supposed to be military.
Now, when you say older guys, do you mean people our age, or do you mean people older than us?
No, we're talking 70, 80-year-old
Yeah, that's older guys.
And they lost their discipline. I mean, it was going well till like 15 minutes into this meeting, and they lost their discipline. And it was... One of the guys
all
leaned
out
over.
Brawl?
Not they wasn't. It wasn't like they were fighting or arguing about thing. It's just that they couldn't stay on topic. They just let it go, and because the president of this club that I'm in, he wouldn't rein them in. He wouldn't. He let them just. They were just everywhere until the. OCI came in, the OCI came in, and he went, what is going on? And the one guy even leaned over, he said, what is this? Is this the Warriors or is this the Boys Club?
You ever heard of Robert's Rule of Order?
Mm-mm.
No.
So, like, every congressional body, every body of like, leadership in the government, usually follows these rules that were set forth in this book called Robert's Rules of Order.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you always hear them saying, I received my 3 minutes to the, you know, whatever.
Oh, yes.
Right. They only have so much time to talk. Yes. Then they have to let the other side talk and they only get so many minutes.
Yes.
Right. That's like a system that was developed for people to argue in a large body of people.
Right.
So that everyone's not like yelling over top of each other.
Right.
Yeah,
well, I like
but the
that.
Other way creates more clicks for the internet. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've leveraged it for their own purposes. I understand that, but but beyond that, it's like a testimony to trying to bring order to chaos.
Yeah,
exactly. And when you don't have order, you have chaos, and it just amazes me. Sometimes people want chaos; they don't want order.
Right.
Because order, if it's an order, that means that you have to discipline yourself to stick to that rule.
Yeah.
And you know how hard it is when you tell yourself you're going to get up at 10 o'clock a.m., guess what happens? Everything in your body tells you, well, you can lay here. You don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Your head hurt. This is going on. This is going on. It really takes a man and a woman to really discipline themselves in order to get something accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Most successful people are extremely disciplined.
Yes.
Extremely.
Yes.
In their private life. Like, for example, Trump, hate him or love him, he only sleeps like 3 or 4 hours a night.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the time, he's working.
Right. Right.
Like, literally, brains, I don't know what he does, but homeboy's over there just strategizing on meetings, talking to people.
If I was his age and I had a little bit of energy, this would be what would be going through my head, because this is kind of like going through my head right now.
Yeah.
Look at all these years you've lost, right? And now you start thinking about sleep a different way. Because now it's like sleep is just taking time away from how much life you have left, right? And so from his perspective, every day counts.
I think he's always been that way, though.
Well, maybe. And maybe he's incorporated that into his life.
That's why he's built so many businesses and so successful. But they say, like, Elon Musk, he's the same way. The rocket guy?
Right.
He only sleeps, like, a few hours a night. Right. And the rest of the time, he's just brainstorming, like, how can I make that rocket better? Like, how can I change that? Okay, let's do this, but let's do it better. Yes. Like, I figured out this way. How am I going to do it? It's crazy.
Yes.
There really is. The most successful people are the ones who just rest, and they just, like, are so disciplined.
But, and a lot of that, you know, we may think, we look at those people and they say, they're crazy. Oh, why? Yeah. But they are accomplishing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're doing things that normal human being, hate them or love them or however they is. They're in our life, there has to be a discipline. Being a Christian it takes discipline to be a Christian. It takes discipline to be a husband. It takes discipline to be a wife. It takes discipline to be a good child. So many times, you know, it's that fight that's within. When we think of discipline, we think of restrictions, not being allowed to do something.
Yeah.
You can't do this. You can't do that. And why can't I? Why? We were talking about that free spirit.
Right.
Free spirit. That free spirit. That discipline and free spirit. They fight each other. There's a constant battle between the two, because we are human. Nobody really wants to be shut themselves down and discipline themselves, because it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's easier just to, I'm going to get up and do whatever I want to do when I want to do it. Don't tell me what I need to do. I do it when I want to. Don't tell. That's a rebellious spirit that is so hard to bring into subjection. It's like it takes the spirit of God to constantly drive us. Or really, let me back up. Because the spirit of God will not drive us. It will not. The spirit of God will not drive us. We have to give ourselves to the Spirit of God. We have to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And that discipline of your mind and not allowing your mind to just run on this and run it, because this flesh gets so irritated so easily. Somebody cut us off. Somebody doing something that we don't like.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that spirit, that flesh just get worked up. Why they got to do it that way? Who cares if they do it that way? But what is a spirit? I hate to. Man, I listened to that message Thursday. I'm sorry.
It's a good message.
Who you're listening to? The flesh or the spirit? You're only listening to, there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
And to discipline ourselves to listen to the Spirit of God, it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not something that we wake up every morning and do it. We all have this thing that we have to, like, discipline ourselves. Okay, God, what do you want to do today?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just being back at that meeting with those older men, you would think, oh, they've done this so many times, and there's so many. This ain't their first meeting. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys have been in these meetings for years, but I'm sitting back. I like sitting back and watch them. Mm-hmm. Because there, you can see the little drama starts over here. Yeah. The little drama starts over here, and there's always someone who thinks they're in charge. And
have you ever heard of this one, where people go and they say, "Well, I've got 15 years of experience," Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you don't have 15 years of experience. Mm. You have 1 year of experience times 15.
Right.
Right. You've been doing the same thing for 15 years. You haven't grown, learned,
nope.
done anything.
No. Nope.
You're still at year one. You've just done it for 15 years.
Yes. The same thing. You, yeah. And there's no...
No growth.
No growth.
No,
no
change.
Changing.
Yep.
No adapting. No... Oh, well, you don't understand. I've been around for 15 years. Right. You've been around.
Right.
Exactly. You've been around. You've not right. been...
That is a common myth in unions that seniority
oh,
means something.
Yes. And I'm telling you, these are 70-year-old men, and I'm looking at them, and they look like they were like Boy Scouts.
Right.
And don't get me wrong. These are men who've given their arms and limbs to our country, and they're willing to go again. And,
yeah, but a lot of people, once they've got out of the Army, they don't have any structure in their life. The only structure that they had was the Army. And then once they get out of that structure, they don't personally themselves have any structure, and so that they wander for many
yes.
years.
Yes, yes.
They don't have a mission. They no. don't have structure. They don't have someone telling them what to do or
no.
what to be. And
that's exactly where... And you know what changed that whole junk that was going? You know what's changed that? This one thing happened, and it was amazing when the president hit his gavel. He said, "Hey, that's enough." Immediately, there came a discipline in the room. Mm. There came a like, that was a quietness.
Yeah,
that was a like. He said, "Such and such talk."
That's
and
a real
everybody,
leader.
What was that?
A real leader,
right? Yeah. But he didn't let it. He let it go. He's so mild. The guy that is in, he's so meek. I think of Reverend Olson sometime when he's just so meek. He's always gives in to people. He allow people to talk over him sometime, but then there comes a point where he's had enough,
mm-hmm.
and he stops.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows, okay, let's rein this in. Let's get back to the mission at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here?
Yeah.
What is the objective of our meeting? What is the objective? And what it brought to my mind is sometimes we need to hit the gavel in our lives. We need to, because mm-hmm. sometimes we get so far off rail. We get so far off, just we're
right.
in our feelings. We're
right.
in our emotions.
We have to, just like the Army, you know, just like, you know, I know one man used a term that's probably not very popular today. He says you have to have an inner slave driver.
Yes.
And I usually think of it more like you have to have like an inner drill sergeant.
Yes.
Or there's an inner person inside of yourself that grabs you by the nap under your neck and says, you will do this.
Right.
You'll clean your dishes. Go
right.
over there and clean your dishes.
Right.
You clean this floor up, mop this floor up, you know, put your clothes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have somebody inside of you that aggressively says, you will not behave like this. This
right.
is unacceptable behavior.
Right.
And it can't come from outside. I mean, you can have somebody from outside do that. And hopefully, if it's done long enough, it may develop
something inside
some
of you.
Pattern
something
inside
of you. Yes.
No, a pattern inside of you
yes.
where you're used to already doing it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But, you know, I was thinking about, just think about this for a moment. E4 Mafia, Spec4 Mafia. You know what the Spec4 Mafia is?
Mm-mm.
E4 Mafia.
Mm-mm.
So Spec4 in the Army is a glorified private, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just a high-paid private. That's what he is. Okay, nothing more. Until he goes to the next stage and gets
mm-hmm.
hard stripes, he's
mm-hmm.
just a glorified private.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a term in the Army called the E4 Mafia,
mm-hmm.
which is a bunch of these Spec4s who have learned how to avoid work, how to maneuver around in the Army without being seen, how to get away with not working, you know, stuff like that. And
that was me. Yes.
Oh, well, okay. I'm just saying that there is a way of developing a mentality to avoid responsibility.
Yes.
there's a way of developing a mentality of avoiding, you know, having any kind of responsibility and being a team player and all that stuff. And it's it can even, you know,
dangerous.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, one of the negatives about the, that's one of the things that's really cool about the Marine Corps is that when you make E4, you're treated like an NCO.
Right.
Right. You're corporal. An NCO. You're a corporal.
Yes.
And you know, you're no longer a private.
Yes.
And they make you earn your E4. Yes, you know,
they do.
You're going to be a leader. If you're not a leader, we're not going to make you an E4.
Oh, wow. That is so
and
good.
And so there's just a lot of people, glorified privates in life in general, and they're just wandering around. They've learned how to navigate the system.
Yes.
Without having to be responsible.
Yes. That is so good. That is because I remember the E4s that was in the Marines and me being an E4 when we met, the discipline was so different. The discipline was so different.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking about Marines. They were corpers. And they were, you know, and even in the infantry unit, they had corpers. You know, they got their E4s and, it was just totally different for me because I was Spec 4. Mm-hmm. And I would get, you need to go do, I said, no, I'm not a private. Don't talk to me like that. Well, you, I said, no, I'm not a sergeant. I'm not a sergeant. I don't have to pull a CQ.
Yeah.
I have no responsibility. All I have to do is stay in this aid station and run this aid station the way I want to run. And there was no discipline whatsoever or responsibility that I had outside of what I was doing in that aid station.
And that's why, you know, growth is uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right. Growth is uncomfortable. Yes. A lot of people, they look at things and they say, well, it'd be nice if I was this or that or the other. Mm. Yeah. But are you willing to pay the price to go?
Are you willing to pay the price?
Right.
Are you willing to pay the price?
Being the best is a high price.
It is.
That's the reason why. The church leadership, you know, treats ministers different than they treat regular members.
Correct.
Regular members, they treat with white gloves. Oh, God bless you. We're glad you're here. You know, but ministers are like, you know, you better be here. You better do this. You better do this.
Because
or
it's
we'll take that license
you.
From you.
Well, it's expected of you.
No, I'm not saying it in a negative way. I'm accepting that. I'm
and
just
if
saying
you
that's
don't,
the way it has to be.
And that, again, as a minister, if you don't want that responsibility, you shouldn't be in it. You should not assume
it. Right, go back
to
being an E4.
Go back to being an E4. Go back to being a Spec 4. Because the leadership, you're expected to be a self-motivator. You're expected to... No one should have to call you up. Hey, bro, are you going to come to church today?
Right.
Or you, I mean, you don't have enough discipline to even come to church. You can't discipline yourself to say, hey, I need to be in church regardless. Okay, I'm a back. Things happen, okay? I'm not saying that things don't happen. Things happen. We got to have responsibility. Things happen. But you, as a minister, you don't have to. The man's got to call you every other day to say, "Oh, brother, you okay? We praying for you.
Yeah,
we need to. Do we?" there's a.
Oh, is that
discipline.
What those phone calls mean?
Yeah.
So next time I need it. Next time I get a phone call like that, I should interpret it as, "Hey, loser." put your game face on, loser.
Well, if he's calling you every other day,
oh no,
I'm talking about a minister. I'm talking about someone who's supposed to say that they're above just following Christ. They're wanting to do something more, and a lot of time people they wanting to be more in Christ, but they're not willing to discipline themselves to be more in Christ.
Yeah, you know,
I must decrease and he must increase.
There's a lot of people who have like they struggle with this idea that they should become, that they should be becoming more. Mm-hmm. And then finally, some of them even come to this epiphany. It's not an epiphany, but a personal enlightenment that, oh, I am something special. I've always been something special. And so it's like, no, you're not. You know, you haven't really matured. Right. You're still where you're at.
Right.
You want that advancement,
right,
but you have not really done what's necessary to get there.
No.
A lot of people think that they should be something important when they're not, you know, and it's like, you would be better off, you know, either, you know, deciding what you're going to do. Either A, I'm just going to be satisfied with the status quo that I'm at, right? But they have this pride that they have to be recognized as something important without having to pay the price for it. You know what came to
my mind? It's like you trying to pick your nose with your toe, your big toe. It's like, oh, I'm big toe. I could pick the nose too. Like, no, stop. You're the toe. That's your job. Do the toe job. Don't do the finger. I'm sorry, it's a bad analogy, but
it is.
You know, but that's what people do, though. That's what people do. They're like, well, I want to be the nose picker. You're not the nose picker. You're the big toe. Yeah. You have a job.
Well, it's important. If people would just be, you talk about being the part of the body or whatever, and being the best part of the body that you can. I remember this kid who had, you know, I met him and I was like babysitting in one of the servicemen's halls one time, and there was a kid there, and he had went and joined the Army to be some special job, right? And I don't think he could hack the math or something. There was just something in there. He couldn't pass a certain test.
Oh, wow.
Right? And he had signed up for like 7 years.
Wow. Right?
And so they said, well, you can't hack this test. We're going to put you in artillery. Right? Mm-hmm. So they put him in the artillery, and he just had he was so demotivated. He was so, you know, not just attitude, but he felt like he was a loser or whatever.
Right.
And I looked at him. I said, "Look, bro, be the best artilleryman you can be.
Oh,
go! I mean, be the best at loading that. Whatever your job is, do it the best.
Come on,
because you have ability. There wouldn't have been.
Come on.
They wouldn't have put you in that school if there wasn't hope that you could have passed it.
Come on,
right? Yeah. So you must be smart. You're just not smart enough for that.
Right.
I said, now you're in something way down here. You could be the best at.
You could
shine at this.
Yes.
Whereas at that other job, you may have been the low man on the totem pole doing that job.
Barely struggling
to get through.
Yes.
You're down here. You could be king of the hill.
Yes.
You know, you could get in there and just, be the best loader. Be the best toe picker in the world. Toe digger?
No.
Toe clawer?
No. There you go.
Toe scraper?
There you go.
Oh, no.
Right.
What about those people who can paint paintings with their feet?
Yes. That's what I'm... Right. Exactly. And what makes...
You're encouraging me.
So why can't you discipline yourself to be the best toe?
Yeah.
Why are you going outside and trying to be something that you're not really designed to be?
Yeah, pride.
You just have to be good at wherever you are.
Discipline yourself to
whatsoever
be good.
Whatsoever thy
at
hand
work.
Findeth to do, do it with all thy mind.
There's this thing in acting that Tom Cruise, love him or hate him, he's a fantastic actor. Mm-hmm. And he's remade himself for decades now and still is at the top of his game because of this. Anyways,
he
did the Top Gun casting for the new one that he did, there was this one actor up and coming, really handsome, and he was like offered a really good part, but they didn't cast him for that. They cast him for like a B-class role. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do this. And Tom Cruise called him and said, dude, this is acting. He was like, you get in there and you be the best.
Right.
Tier 2 actor that you can be.
Right.
And he was like, when I hung up that phone, I just determined, okay, I'll do it. And then he was like the best, and he got so many movie deals because of him appearing in that movie because Tom Cruise was on it, you know.
That's the same. That's the same thing with Jackie Chan. Mm-hmm. Jackie Chan met Bruce Lee.
Oh, okay.
And Bruce Lee just tore him in half. He would go on runs with Bruce Lee. He would go on these runs, and Bruce Lee would just wear him out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you're a loser. Bruce Lee would tell Jackie Chan, you're a loser. You can't hack it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you're here trying to do this stuff. You should just quit. Mm-hmm. Right? Wow. And he really appreciated that from Bruce Lee because it forced him to be the best Jackie Chan that he could
be. The best who?
Yeah, and that dude, Jackie Chan is one of the best actors slash stuntmen ever.
Yes,
yeah.
He's a great stuntman.
He does his own stunts. Yes. He's always done his own stunts. The man is a physical. Yes, right. He is iconic. Yes.
And when you think of Kung Fu, you think of Jackie Chan.
One of the things one of the main characters from Kung Fu and all that stuff you think of is Jackie Chan. Yes.
For sure.
Of course you think of Bruce Lee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. But why does everybody have to be Bruce Lee?
No.
Only Bruce Lee can be Bruce Lee.
And that was the point of what Tom Cruise is saying. He's like, okay, you didn't get the lead role.
Right.
He was like, but don't be a snob. You got a chance to be on my movie that I'm casting. So... And now he's starring in movies like every other couple of months. And it's like, we don't always have to be the stars.
Stay in your lane.
You know,
I hate to go back to we used to
say, everyone wants to be the returning missionary.
Yes.
But sometimes if you're just the person that's cleaning the toilets and vacuuming the floors or whatever little job that you have, mm-hmm. if you do attendance or if you, I don't know, bring a water bottle, I don't know.
What,
but if you're doing that. You're doing the best. You're being the best that you
don't
can
let
be.
Down yeah. on it. Don't let down yeah. on it. If that's your job, mm-hmm. don't it don't mean nothing. Yeah, it does mean something.
Yeah.
It does mean something. If you make it mean something to you, you'll discipline yourself. Okay, boom. It don't matter. Well, all they do is bring the water to the pastor. Okay. But I grew up where it was important. Mm-hmm. I used to see these women, whatever it is, a religion. Mm-hmm. They used to have that glass up there. They put that thing up there, and you look up there, and it's like mm-hmm. that glass of water was so inviting because the person who was doing it with all their heart mm-hmm. and all their mind right. unto mm-hmm. God. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm. So many times we want these big jobs. Mm-hmm. We want the glorified
or
jobs.
A place where we can really shine, so to speak. But sometimes you don't need to shine. Sometimes you just need to be there and just mm-hmm. do what you're supposed to do. Whatever job God has given you, whether mm-hmm. you deem it small mm-hmm. or great,
yes,
it's all important when it's you know working together.
The Bible says that we're kings and priests unto God.
Yes.
Okay, and he also says, you know, one of those allusions to what heaven's going to be like. He said, and the Pharisees are like, when she goes to heaven, whose wife shall she be?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is like, you don't understand.
No,
they'll be as the angels. Right. There's not going to be any of this stuff going on.
Right.
So when now we live in this flesh, mm-hmm. we live in this limited flesh, mm-hmm. and people have different, you know, this is that whole thing about equality.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants this equality of outcome. Mm-hmm. There's going to be equality of outcome in heaven,
right?
Because what does the Bible say? He said, we shall look upon him face to face, for we shall be him, right? Mm-hmm. We'll be all knowing, all powerful, all mm-hmm. these things, the same attributes that Christ will have.
Right.
We will be holy, we'll be perfect,
right.
and we will be fit for the job that God will give us, right?
Correct.
In the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
right? Now we are living in the body,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have limitations,
mm-hmm.
and we can only do what we can do based on. Now God can give us the power to do anything,
correct?
Right?
Correct.
But I'm not dismissing the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
But what I am saying is that, you know, whatever station we're at in God down here, right, is not reflected in what we're going to be in heaven. And I honestly believe there's going to be some people who, you know, prayed in their closet, mm-hmm. came and cleaned the mm-hmm. church, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. been a sister or mm-hmm. brother and just, mm-hmm. you know, did what, mm-hmm. you know,
just did what
put
they
whatever
was
they could in the offering and did whatever they could. They're going to outrank people who were like, you know, pastors, bishops mm-hmm. over multiple churches. Because mm-hmm. God it's not, God can do whatever he wants to do.
That's a lot of people not going to like that.
They're not going to like that. They're going to go to heaven.
Like
and,
what you said.
Well, I mean, they're going to like it because they're going to be in heaven. They're going to do whatever they're going to do.
And that's what I'm saying. Like so many times we look at these people who are in these positions.
Because they have a carnal mind and they're looking at this world and what they're getting promoted in it. They're not thinking eternally. Right? What did Jesus say to the apostles, the disciples? He said, the leaders of this world, you know, they're going to subject you. They're going to make you do things for them, right? He said, but my leaders won't be like this. No. He said, if you shall be leader of all, you shall be servant to all.
Servant to all.
Those are the leaders.
Servant.
And there's like little subtle hints in there where he's saying, if you do what I tell you to do in this life, no matter how menial it is, there's some people, and I don't want to say this the wrong way, and I'm not saying find fault with your leaders.
No,
there's some people who... maybe they're leaders because they can't be followers.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so they're leaders in this life, and God's like, I'm going to put you as a leader because you certainly couldn't be a follower.
You can't follow.
Right? And you're still going to make it to heaven, but when you get to heaven, you're probably going to be low man on the totem pole. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way it is. I mean, God obviously promoted David, and David's great in the kingdom of heaven and all this stuff. But
Right. Well, again, getting to what we're saying is... discipline ourselves to be unto God and to follow.
They're not seeing
God,
the big picture.
What God wants us to do, because there, you gotta listen to the Holy Spirit. You gotta listen to God's Spirit. You gotta, because God knows all. He knows everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. Our problem sometimes we think we know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We assume we know what's going on, and the flesh is this thing right here.
This is why we have to be subject to the Spirit, because we don't know,
bro.
We don't see,
bro.
The Spirit
sees, yes,
but we don't see.
We don't see.
We don't really see what's going on.
We don't. We even if we again 15 years. I've been around 15 years and I've seen this.
Yeah.
This is where it's always happened.
Yeah.
Okay. In your little world, because you got this little, you done built this little bubble around you and this is your world of world. But there's people out that are doing stuff outside our world that are doing something and we encounter them.
I found this guy literally on Twitter. He's legit. He's preaching the gospel in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. In the poorest Muslim held thing, and he's posting online and just asking for genuine prayer. He's like, anybody who's a believer, pray for me. Mm-hmm. And he's preaching the gospel to these people that are so destitute, and they've never heard anything like this. And it's like, okay, everyone wants to be like the Billy Graham preacher, you know, the one that's known all over the world.
Yeah.
But how many, when we get to heaven, are just going to be the corner street preachers or the preachers that we'll never know their name, we'll never see their ministry, so to speak, in our lifetime or in our lives, you know, whatever. Right. But all over the world, there's men and women who are willing.
But they're dedicated to the cause.
Willing to put it all on the line, including their life, just to tell somebody, hey, there's someone named Jesus Christ and he died for you.
God and needs I bring people in the trenches.
Yes.
There's a lot of... I think the other thing is, like, how do I say this without sounding dumb? There's a lot of...
Was that like, were you asking us to like get ready to attack you?
An inner thought that came out. But how do you say, there's a lot of, especially among men, they want to be
don't
like
think
these...
of pink elephants.
They want to be leaders,
yes.
But there's too many leaders and not enough team members.
Yeah,
and too many chief and not enough braves. That's the word. That's what she was looking for.
It's not to discredit them. Maybe they genuinely do want to lead people, right? But it's
you
like not
lead.
Everybody needs to be in that position. Like whoever it's given to, that's who it's supposed to be to. So just fall in line,
right?
And then in due season, God will exalt you to where He wants you to be,
right?
But really, church growth and stuff is just the members, because we're the one sheep against sheep going out and doing the groundwork. Not to discredit what a pastor, don't misunderstand.
No,
leaders.
I totally understand.
You know, there are people.
You're right. Pastor's a shepherd.
You're right.
Yeah, there are people that they need leadership positions, obviously, in God's hierarchy and the way it works.
Right.
But the meat of that is in the team. How good is your team? Mm-hmm. if you have a good leader, you'll know mm-hmm. based on your team. Mm-hmm. How good of a leader you have will come up in your mm-hmm. team.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Because most good leaders learn how to follow.
They have to, right?
They yeah. learn how to follow.
Yeah.
Right. When someone comes up to them and gives them a good idea, they don't get proud. They don't, I don't want to hear that. They're listening. They're wanting to hear, oh, that's a great idea. Let's mm-hmm. do this. Not this arrogant, do what I'd say.
Yeah, and not to bring them up again, but literally, I've heard like so many videos about Trump. People from years ago that used to work for him, he would be doing like a construction job, right? Mm-hmm. So he would bypass the foreman mm-hmm. and go to the worker. Right. And he'd be like, okay, guys. Tell me the real, what's right. going on down here right. and why isn't right. this happening? And right. where is the breakdown? What right. do you need?
Right.
And so he would bypass all the mm-hmm. hierarchy of leadership
mm-hmm. yeah.
and go straight down to the work site. And the guys right. would tell him, oh, sir, they've got mm-hmm. this new company in here who's trying to do this kind right. of concrete. Right. We don't need that. We need this one. He'd be like, call the foreman, stop what you're doing and listen to the guys. You know what I'm right. saying? Elon Musk, the same way.
Yeah.
Right.
He gets an idea from somebody. Right. He's not like, oh, I'm the brainiac right. here. Yes. yes. I know how to, you know, yes. do. He's like, yes. oh, you figured out how to launch yes. it faster and more oh. effectively with less fuel? Oh, tell me more.
So you know? He yeah. humbles himself
right.
to listen. That right. That's really, that's a, and I mean, I know I'm trying to mm-hmm. shoot this word, disciplined himself.
Yeah.
To listen to what, mm-hmm. someone below them that's mm-hmm. not making as much money as he is to listen to their idea.
Yeah, because he knew that they knew. They're the ones that are doing. They're doing the footwork. Yeah.
They're doing
so
the
So in software, people are given tasks to do, mm-hmm. right? And they have usually this is the way it goes. I'm not saying this is the way it goes everywhere, but usually they have what's called a daily stand-up. Right. Mm. And so everybody in the morning is supposed to stand up and they say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I did yesterday.
Right.
And how it turned out. This is what I'm doing today. This mm-hmm. is what I plan to do today.
Right.
And then the last one is, this is where I'm blocked. Right.
Oh,
and the yes. leader's job, the yes. leader's job is to unblock people.
Yes.
Right. If they're blocked, the leader's job is to say, what do I have to do to unblock you? Mm-hmm. He said, well, I need to deploy this into this database, and I need to know if I have permission to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to just cram this in, and I need permission to get this in. Mm-hmm. And he'll look at the team. He's like, okay, what's the reason why he can't do this? Well, we're doing that or the other. He said, well, you know, and so they try to brainstorm how can I keep people moving forward?
Correct.
How can I keep people moving forward?
Yeah.
And so it's important to go to the people who are on the bottom, you know, the bottom of the line doing the work mm-hmm. and finding out where they're blocked, like you said, or right. what's going wrong
right.
and why we can't go forward.
Yeah. There was even the story about one of the hotels he built, and I think it was the one in New York. But anyways, they had this idea to have it like skylit. And so the engineer, the person who draws up the plans for this Fourier type deal, he was like, oh, it's going to be, we're like $2 million over budget and blah, 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 blah. And Trump was like, excuse me? He was like, no. So he went down there, passed the engineer, went to another company. And the guy was like, oh, because of heating and cooling. Mm-hmm. When you have a window thing, it costs more to heat and cool because mm-hmm. you have to keep it. Anyway. So he went to other experts in the field, and then he was like, okay, talk to your workers, give me up a plan. Saved himself like $2.5 million mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. like that and got it done way faster mm-hmm. just because he bypassed the quote-unquote expert. Mm-hmm. He was right. like, this can't be the only way. He's like, there's got to be something else.
You know why? Because when people get in a leadership position, they get comfortable. And they'll do anything to keep that leadership position.
Mm-hmm. Even hurting other people.
They're yeah. not looking out for the bottom line mm-hmm. or even, they're looking out for themselves.
Right.
They're yeah. keeping, I've seen it. Even mm-hmm. I'm dealing with a situation where, oh man, I gotta be careful how I say this.
You don't have man, to say it.
Chris do this and why did Chris do it like that? And I had to pull, I had to go talk to the different people. I had to talk to the owner, and I had to talk to the subcontractor. Mm-hmm. And I said, look here, these are the numbers. Mm-hmm. This is how much it costs. This is how much you're saying it costs. But this is what it originally caused. Mm-hmm. Why is there, what's the difference? Why are you, mm-hmm. I said, you said that such and such said, no, that's not what I mean. I said, mm-hmm. so you're making me look bad. Mm-hmm. You're making yourself look bad. Mm-hmm. And now the owner who's paying for the money, he's questioning me. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't mean it that way. Okay, so let's get this straight. This is your job. Don't do my job. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is what you do. Now, he expecting us to work together, but you're trying to get in my lane. Mm-hmm. You won't stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. You won't discipline yourself, but you mm-hmm. want to tell me what I need to be doing, mm-hmm. and you're telling the owner. So, it's a pride thing. You know, you were saying earlier, people get so proud so quickly.
If you try to tell somebody who thinks they know what they're doing a better way to do something, that's how you know. Because mm-hmm. they'll just flip out.
They'll flip out.
I've been doing this for 15 years. What are you talking about? And it's like, whoa.
It's
whoa.
A better idea.
Well, let me share this one with you. What's the difference between the shepherd and the hireling?
The hireling is it will drive those sheep to get the best that he can. He's looking for a payout.
Right. And what is the shepherd looking for?
He's looking for what's the best for the sheep. He's looking for what is the best for the sheep.
And that's the difference between. That's mm-hmm. why Jesus said that these people aren't real shepherds. They're hirelings.
Right.
They're only there for their own personal gain.
They're there for their own personal gain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're right. They're not out for the welfare of the sheep at all.
Right. And that's the reason why it's dangerous for people to pursue leadership when they're not really called to leadership.
They're not.
Right.
They're just in it for a payoff. Mm-hmm. They're in it for a payoff. And they don't have no discipline. They don't even care. They don't care that the sheep is at the end of the, mm-hmm. It's just one sheep. I got 99. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
And that's the opposite of Jesus.
What title?
Where Jesus is willing to leave the 99 behind to seek one sheep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. That is a total opposite mentality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I could take people who have that mentality of collateral damage is acceptable mm-hmm. versus the person mm-hmm. who's like, we don't compromise to terrorists. We don't compromise to one person being, sold out for the whole team.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. Because if you're, again, as a team player, if you're a team player mm-hmm. and you're about the whole team.
Yeah.
You're looking out for the whole team. Mm-hmm. But if your desire is, I'm in to get what I can get out of it. This is all about me. I don't care. I'm not going to take a hit for the team. I'm not going to discipline myself.
I'm so glad you said that.
I'm not going to. I don't look bad.
Listen
I'm
to this.
Look bad.
There's two kinds of soldiers on the battlefield.
Yes, it is.
There's the kid who will jump on the grenade to save his team, and there's the guy who will throw the kid on the grenade to save himself.
Bro.
So true.
Let me tell you something. Something really.
He threw himself on that grenade for the team. Give him a medal of honor.
Something really bothered me yesterday or the day before. I was coming around a curve, and there was an older couple. I mean, when I say older couple, I mean, he was gray-headed and she was both gray-headed. I came around the curve, and they were walking. And this man, he ran around the lady. They thought I was coming. It wasn't that he put himself in between me and her. He put her in between him and I was like
human shield.
I was like, what? I mean, it bothered me.
Yeah.
To the point of like, what?
Most people are cowards.
Why?
Most people are cowards. They think that they're brave, but most people are cowards.
I was thinking, my reaction would have been first thing, I would have grabbed my wife and put her behind me.
Everyone says that if I existed under Hitler, I'd have stood up and said something. But as soon as the COVID shot came and they said, you get a shot, they were there in a minute. You can't go to the bar unless you get a COVID shot. You can't go to work unless you get a COVID shot. You can't go shopping unless you get a COVID shot. They were the first one in line to go get it. And yet they'll sit here and tell you, well, if I'd have been there during Hitler's time, I'd have stood up against them taking all those Jews. No, you wouldn't have. You're a coward.
People think they're disciplined. But they don't not. They think they. I stand up. I do.
Courageous,
If God told me to, I will go in a heartbeat, and I do this.
Yeah.
And I'm a man.
Yeah, but they can't listen to one pastor telling them don't cut your hair or you know you need to wear a looser dress or something.
There. And he went straight. He went straight. No, he didn't even like ease into it. No. He went straight. He wouldn't even like ease.
He punched the gas on a brake.
That's man, husband, and wife. Everybody want. Tell her to be in subjection to me or tell her.
Why don't you go on a job and pay the bills?
Hello. Yeah.
Courage, get back to that idea. There's so many
stop
people.
Stop buying guns and make sure your wife's got decent clothes.
Oh, bro. Stop.
There's so many.
Stop.
I don't know.
Bro.
There's so go many ahead, people that, on courage. Like, yes. They always have that thing, like you were saying, like, I would do this if I was in that situation.
I'll do that.
But there's always that other saying, you never know what you're going to do until it's
you.
Until it's you. And I think that's why people make such a big deal and they honor heroes. And courage in our society, like literally, because you know, like firemen, if they run into a burning building, you know, they're paraded because they are.
They're disciplined to do that. They disciplined themselves. I'm going to go in here. My job is to go find this person. Even if it's a cat, they run into the house. That building is burning. For the cat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm
so
out.
This.
This is.
I can tell.
This week, I saw this thing because you know 9/11 is coming up. Mm-hmm. So they produce like different documentaries. So, anyways, let me just give you guys. It's called The Man with the Red Bandana. So on 9/11, he was in the South Tower. It's a fast story, right?
Mm-hmm. Go.
He was 22 at the time. He had made it to a firm. And he had went to school in Boston. Anyways, he had a really good education. He was like in a finance firm.
Sister, take your time. Slow down.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyways, so this whole time you're hearing these people talk about this guy with the red bandana. And they haven't revealed his identity yet, but they're going through witnesses. And they were on the Sky Lobby floor when it was hit by the plane. And there was a couple of survivors on the floors above. They didn't know what to do. They were literally laying down there burning, right? And someone just screamed out from the stairwell B, and he goes, "You guys, I found the way out. Come here." And so he was helping these people. And so you go through these stories, and he's helped dozens of people down. And he was only 22 at the time. So you find out, they show his parents finally. His dad was a volunteer fireman in their hometown. He had been around fire trucks and all this stuff this whole time. And his life goal was to be a fireman. And so these people that he was bringing down the stairs, he went up three times and grabbed three different groups of people. And he carried this red bandana. And him and his dad had a joke when they would go on Sunday. His dad carried the blue one and he carried the red one. And his dad would go, the white one, he says, "This is for those, and that's for the blow, for blowing your nose." And so, anyways, he told his dad a couple of weeks before, he said, "Dad, I think I'm going to do something else. I'm not happy with my job." And he goes, "Son, what are you talking about? You know, you've made it on this finance firm. You're going to make a lot of money. Do you know how many young men would be happy to be you? And he goes, Dad, sometimes life isn't about money. Anyway, this guy was only 22 years old. He ended up dying when the towers went down. And guess what he was doing? He was
saving people's lives.
Well, not he had already done that, but he went to the firemen. He went to the chief fireman down there. Yes. And he said, sir, I've been up there. There's witnesses. And I know what you need. Yes. I know where the people are trapped. And I know what equipment you need to help them.
Right.
And so...
Take your time,
he
sister.
Said, he said, I found the way. And so his parents started this foundation, the Red Bandana, for courage and young men, awarding them for courage, being courageous in situations. So his dad went weeks later to clean out his apartment in New York, and he had filled out halfway an FDNY application. He was going to be a firefighter.
Wow.
And his story at that time was preached in sermons all over the world, saying, I found the way, come with me.
Right.
I found my way out of the fire, come with me. Follow me, I found my way, the man with the red bandana. And so courage, this man was young, and he said, one of the guys that he helped down last, he said he was angry with him. He's like, bro, come on, like it's burning, it's bad.
Yeah.
This is really bad and it's going to get worse. Look at the firemen. Everyone's freaking out. We need to go. He's like, no.
Yeah.
There's people up there and I know I can help. Mm-hmm. Courage under fire. And like, you know, so that story, when we're talking about courage, I mean, there's so many people who look at 9/11 and say, oh, I definitely would have been able to do something or, you know, or I would have been able to.
No,
I would have did this and blah, 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 blah. But
how many
kid had his whole life ahead of him.
I wonder how many hours he spent practicing that.
Don't be. You don't have to be a fireman in the fire department to be a fireman right where you're at right now.
Wait, and that's that's what I was going to say. The story goes further. So now on Heroes Boulevard, which is where they have the memoriam of the firefighters that died in their 343.
His name's on there, isn't it?
And his face.
I spoiled your story.
He was in... He was immortalized with the FDNY.
He should be, yes.
And that was his place and his plaque. And his dad said, his whole life was for this moment. He said, I'm sad I lost my son. But what hope he brought to people.
He did what he was called to do.
Yeah, he helped a lady who was burned 40% of her body. And he carried her down the stairs.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up.
And so his whole life, whether or not we think it's fair or his parents that he's dead, right? His whole life, God had prepared for that moment.
Correct.
He knew what to do in a fire. Where, you know what I'm saying? Calm, cool,
who you're following.
Yeah.
Who are you following?
Everyone wants to be something. Everybody wants to be something, but why don't you just sit down and read your Bible? Why don't you pray? Why don't you get a hold of God and go do a little, you know, just do what God's got you there doing. And you stay there and you stay faithful. Listen to this. Paul said, God has counted me faithful, calling me into the ministry. God's not going to put unfaithful people into the ministry. If you can't face the small battles and be a winner in those small battles, how on earth are you going to be a general in the army? You know, the one thing I loved about Patton, he'd get right out there in front when people where bullets were flying. He'd be running down the line. He'd see some tank that was busted or whatever, and they couldn't move the line. And he'd say, push this thing off the road. He'd be up there right up front with those tankers. He's like, general, be right up there with those tankers. He'd push this thing off the road. Let's keep moving.
Just stay in your discipline yourself. Stay in your lane. Do what you do. So many times this kid wasn't doing it because he wanted to be.
He did want to be a. Yeah, he was doing it because he knew that was his calling.
God had prepared his whole life. He was a Christian. And he had prepared his whole life for that 1 hour.
Yes.
That 1 hour.
Right.
On September the 11th, 2001, his whole life had led to that moment. His physical health. I mean, he was in excellent cardio shape because he had played sports in college, you know?
Yeah.
So he was able to climb 60, 70 flights of stairs 3 times. And so, you know, God orchestrates. God orchestrates things in our life.
Right.
For a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, we don't understand that. We don't understand. But my gosh, if you found Jesus Christ as a reality in your life, you could turn the whole world upside down. Your world. You know, follow me. I found the way. I found the way out of here, out of hell, you know? And just such an inspirational story of courage, personal courage.
Right.
And amazing. And he could have left. My gosh, he's helped groups of people.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But that was, he said no. He saw the firefighters and he was willing to go back in to try and get more.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man.
Everybody talks about Billy Graham, but they don't talk about the man who invited Billy Graham to church.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about, you know, what was the other one I was thinking of? They always talk about the person that, you know, that's seen and glorified and in the main vision or whatever.
Yeah.
But they don't see the people down below that are, you know, holding the whole thing up, you know, underneath.
Yeah.
And so what is Jesus? Oh, I like this. Listen to this, Chris. This is good. Jesus is the foundation.
Yes.
And what is the foundation? The foundation is the thing that sits on the bottom and holds everything up.
Holds it all up.
He's the one. We are standing on the shoulders of greatness.
Yeah.
Right? We're not. We're great. We're made to look great. Because we're standing on the foundation.
Right.
And God, Jesus is down there lowly, all the way at the bottom, just laying on the ground with his shoulders. You ever see those people in those Chinese Cirque du Soleil or whatever, where they'll make like a diamond and there'll be like one guy at the top. And what do you look? You look at the guy at the top. Oh, wow, look how much balance he has. Look how he's way up there. No one thinks about that dude on the bottom who's got 20 people standing on top of him.
Yeah. And talk about courage under fire.
No one sits and thinks about that dude on the bottom holding up 30 people.
And Jesus, talk about the picture of courage under fire.
Yeah.
Didn't back down, knew his mission.
Yep.
Humbled himself to be.
Even when people came to lift
him
up.
You'll do greater works than me.
Right. You'll do greater works than me.
And he just said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Make this stuff up.
That other guy said, I found the way, but Jesus said, I am the way.
Oh, man.
I just said, follow me. I always pray, God, make me courageous like a lion when I'm out in the world, you know, like soul winning and stuff, and not a coward,
sister,
but courageous.
Let me correct that. Make us usable, Lord. Make us usable. He'll use us.
Yeah.
Just make us usable, Lord.
I think you got a good prayer, sister. Only be thou very strong and courageous.
Yeah.
That's make what God's called
well,
us
we all
to
have
do.
Different
make us stand for what God has done in
well,
your life.
Well, I have different personality flaws, and mine is like being shy and like timid.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot for me to be going and knocking on doors and like, you know, just talking to strangers.
But you're usable.
So that's what I pray.
Right.
So
but
I'm
you're
like,
usable,
God,
sister. You're usable.
Yeah.
Sis, don't, please. That's what we're trying to say right now. You are usable. You're disciplining yourself to be usable by the
Holy
Spirit.
To break out of that, right?
You're constantly giving yourself. I'm not saying that you perfectly do it every day, but you're yielding yourself. You're constantly yielding yourself. You're not putting up that resistance. I don't want to change. I don't want to be different. Oh, just you won't. Man, I can't even put two words together. You guys are killing me. I can't even. It's like my brain is like running because who without him we're nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Just he'll lead us. He'll lead us.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is just follow. Quit we got these thoughts in our minds and we of greatness and I'm got to do something great for God. Mm-hmm. No, you just got to follow him. Mm-hmm. Just follow him. Mm-hmm. He'll put us in the place where he wants us to be. Mm-hmm. So many times we want to be leaders.
It's in you the may front wanna... line with us wherever we mm-hmm. are.
Okay,
like you I'm said not, about I'm, the general, he was yeah, in the sorry. Front lines.
I think I'm done too.
I can't even put
because we're right there at the hour.
Yeah,
we could go on and on and on. That's the wonderful thing about it is that you could just keep going on.
You nailed it. Sis, thank
she,
you.
She did nail
you brought it. You brought it.
You brought it home.
You brought it. He brought yeah. it. Yeah.
God.
That is so good. That
the man with the red bandana. Look it up.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful story.
Amen.
Bye.